My name is Taras Krisa. I was born in Kyiv, Ukraine. I grew up in Ukraine and Moscow, Russia. That's when I received my early education. And then 1989, me and my family moved to United States. I should say my family took myself to the United States, and I continued my education in the United States. And first as a violinist, then later I slowly moved into conducting, and here I'm in Fort Collins and having a great time. I have been to Colorado many times. My early visit was 1990 as a part of the Aspen Music Festival. I've returned to Aspen several times, and outside of that I visited to Colorado pretty much every summer because I love the nature, I love the Rockies, and I love skiing. My father is concert violinist. He has had pretty big career. Currently he's a professor of music at the Eastman School of Music. My mother was a concert pianist. Unfortunately, she passed away. She had played with my dad many, many concerts, and so I grew up in a musical family, and I should say a lot of my siblings and uncles, they all involved in music somehow, many parts of the world, and my grandfather was a singer in Bolshoi Theater. My parents started me playing the violin when I was six, and I have to admit, I don't remember much of it, except that I had to practice, and I don't think I liked it very much, spend the long hours when everyone was outside. But slowly grew on me. I think at the age of 15 or 16, that's when I decided I'm going to pursue music for serious. And when we came to United States, and I was lucky to go to wonderful schools, first Manhattan School of Music, then Indiana University, that's when I decided that I'm going to pursue the life as a professional musician, which is not easy, but it's very rewarding. I went to special music school in Moscow, Russia. So the system there is slightly different. You do start early, and at a young age, you don't have a decision-making power what instrument you choose, so it's up to your parents. And I was lucky, my father bought me a decent violin. It was like 1/8, then 3/4, and then half. So I always had my own instrument, and I still do. I still playing very actively. I guess the real decision comes later in your 20s. If you're going to choose this route and pursue life in professional music versus something else, because it is difficult to make a living in any fine arts medium. Competition is fierce. There's so places to have a position or basically ability to make a living. It's one of my teachers said it's about 85-90% of rejection. At the time, while I was at Indiana University, I my last year, I started listening and started reading more about music in general and looking at the scores. And what the first it was just basically I wanted to open up my understanding of music outside of just the violin repertoire. And then I started liking the orchestral repertoire. That's the first thing that really caught my attention. I started falling in love with this and listening and a bit fascinated with how orchestra sounds. And I must say I like the repertoire, and that's just my personal opinion. I do like orchestral repertoire better than anything that's written for solo violin or violin, piano, or even chamber music. It just spoke to me much more personal than anything else. And I guess the turning point after I graduated from IU, Indiana University, I went to New World Symphony as a violin fellow for 3 years, and that's where I started putting groups together and just trying out what it takes, how does it feel conducting, why, what's the point. And And I kept on doing it. And my music director at the time, Michael Tilson Thomas, he encouraged me basically pursue conducting. I went to a couple of places such as Aspen Music Festival and Pierre Monteau School. I went to Europe, attended a couple of master classes with Jorma Panula and some other things. And then I decided to pursue conducting sort of full time. And then all of a sudden, last minute, I took the audition to St. Louis Symphony as a violin section, and I got in. So I decided, okay, I will wait with this because I didn't want to miss the opportunity to play in the major U.S. orchestra for a couple of years to get the even more experience playing in the orchestra. And that's what I did. I played there for 3 years, and then finally I decided to leave the orchestra, and I went to Northwestern University to pursue my graduate study with Victor Yampolsky. And after that, I basically conducted ever since. Yeah, I did quite a bit of guest conducting in Europe, mostly in Ukraine, Holland, Poland. But I lived in Chicago after Northwestern, and then opportunity came along, a last minute replacement at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. They called me in the summer, and they offered me the job for 1 year, director of orchestra. So I agreed, and then they had a national search after that, and I got the permanent job, and I lived in Las Vegas ever since. Yeah. My favorite composer, such a tricky question, because first of all, there's a personal evolution as you grow up as a person and as a musician. You go through composers. What 20 years seemed unlistenable, now you really like it, or vice versa. When you're in a profession, you have to like everything what's in front of you. It's very, very important to put aside your personal taste. You just have to do the best you can, and you have to respect the will of the composers, because I think something wonderful about composing music, first of all, I cannot put three notes together. I have deepest respect for any composer, but this ability to put a piece of paper, something from your head, and then it touches everyone else in the audience, and including the people on the stage, musicians, that's an incredible skill, and it's our job to interpret it and bring it to the audience, whether you like it or not. This week, my favorite composers are Beethoven, Reinecke, Ravel, and Mozart. That's what I'm conducting with for Collins Symphony. It's a wonderful orchestra, incredible flexibility and ability to do things quickly, absolutely impeccable professional atmosphere. So nothing but the joy, and whatever is happening here with Wes Kenny, he's doing a fantastic job with the orchestra. So I'm having lots of fun.
What other types of music are you interested in?
Big part of what I grew up with, of course, was the rock music, and up until these days, I'm listening Pink Floyd, Genesis, and I come back to it, King Crimson, and so what. I guess yes, and I guess that was a direction with, I think they called art rock at the time, which was sort of the highest form of pop music back in 70s and 80s, and I still listen to it. There's something about that period of time, early 70s till maybe beginning of 80s, when it was just explosion of true art form in pop music, and I make one more parallel. Most of the musicians who are playing those groups, Tony Banks and Mike Rutherford and Peter Gabriel, I mean, they all had some kind of a classical training. So, which brings us back to beginnings. No matter what you do, jazz, rock, pop, folk, you have to have a strong training, basic training, just the language. What you do with the music is just language, English, Chinese, Japanese. You have to be literate, and then what you do with that later on, it's up to you. But you have to have basics down. And I think what's happening in the pop music right now, and I'm not sure, please don't take it very seriously, because I don't want to offend anyone, but with explosion of technological devices help, you can push the button and kind of compose without having any idea about the music, without having idea, ability to read the music. I think that's what's happening, and that's something takes away from the culture in general. You have to live through it, you have to speak it, you have to live it, you have to breathe it, you have to let the blood go if you have to, and then you create. When you perform the music, you portray the certain character, certain picture, image. That's what you're trying to convey. And that's something entirely up to you, your talent, your ability to do it, whether it's classical music, whether it's improvisation, whether it's a rock music. There's such a thing called talent. What it is, I'm still not quite sure. I believe it takes the village to produce. I would never say, oh, it's only up to the conductor to make decisions. It's up to everyone on stage. It's up to composer. It's up to your knowledge, a conductor. Yes, true about the composer style, what's happening historically. It's about your personal experience. How do you get to that point? Because if you haven't lived, if you haven't been on the nature, you cannot conduct pastoral. If you have not been in life, you cannot do Tristan, for example, no matter how much you learn about it. The reason conductors exist, because orchestra musicians trust a person in front of them to make things faster and efficient. Because if we take a conductor out, what's going to happen? We have 80 musicians on the stage who have a strong, wonderful ideas about composer ABC and how to perform certain pieces and so forth. But then you have a democracy and you have a Congress of United States gridlock for 2.5 years trying to decide how to do opening Beethoven 5. So that's why they pick somebody who they trust enough, even might disagree, but so they'll do it much, much quicker. Yeah, within 4 or 5 to rehearsals, not a month and a half debate when we have to listen each person. So that's my view on that. And when I go in front of the orchestra, yes, there's a composers, there's a history, there's a knowledge, understanding, my understanding, but there's a people in front of you that you have to respect. They are the one actually playing. They're actually making the sound. So it's such a fluid, always such a fluid, interesting process, fascinating process. And if the chemistry works on stage, the audience is the winner, because they always pick up that the performance is spirited and interesting, and they go home and they talk about it, and that's very, and they remember many, many months and sometimes years.
How long does it take you to become familiar with a new piece of music before you conduct it?
At least a month to learn something. In reality, you don't have even that much time, especially if in this age when you're expected to conduct one piece there, the next week you're flying over there, you have to do something in universities third, and it really depends. And certain repertoire comes easier for me than another repertoire. Certain repertoire I'm waiting to get even older before I do certain pieces. For example, Bruckner. I think I'm going to be doing my first Bruckner symphony 2 weeks from today in with the Lviv Philharmonic Orchestra. So I'm 51. That's how long I waited till, and I'm still not sure I'm ready to do this type of repertoire. If it's something very technical, like Messiaen or something, you need more time to if you see it for the first time, you just need more time to understand this language, this idiom. So, because within the music, there's a different languages too. So if you're not familiar with this, it takes a little bit longer to learn it. also conducting such a cumulative experience, sort of way of life, pretty much everything you do for the first time, it's not very good. And now I can say that because when I was in my late 20s, 30s, everything I've done wasn't very good. I thought at the time was very good, but now I remember some of those performances. I have recordings. I'm horrified. Who's this guy? Why this weird tempo? It's so fast. He doesn't listen. So it takes a long time to mature and give the piece proper reading. Even Mozart 36 this week, I thought I knew the piece, but then even now I'm changing as we progress to rehearsals. And it's not only for conducting, it's for instrumentalist as well. If you've played Bach, Chaconne, violin, it's such a masterpiece. You come back to it year and after year and you do it differently. So there is no end.
How do you conduct orchestras with varying levels of musicianship?
Before Lviv in Ukraine, I was music director of Henderson Symphony Orchestra for 9.5 years. That's the community orchestra in Nevada, southern Nevada, and those are basically amateur folks who want to play music, but they do something else for a living. Pretty much all of them. And we managed to do repertoires such as Mahler 1 and Brahms symphonies and Janáček Sinfonietta and just a regular MIDI standard symphonic warhorses. And I remember first rehearsals and it was unrecognizable at times. But then as we progress through, they, of course, they have a lot more rehearsals to get through. It was very spirited, decent, sometimes very good performances. I mean, most of the time, very good. You could hear it's not professionals, but it's okay. Because they left with something in their lives. Yeah, they played Brahms, they played Mahler, they played Janáček, and so on. The same, the audience, we build the audience literally from 200 people to over thousands because our tickets were free. Yeah, and so we kind of went into this demographics of people that they can't afford to go to this professional symphony, $40 per ticket. If you have Emily, you know, parents plus three kids, there's no way you can do that. So the same thing with the students. Often the first reading through, because they don't know anything, they're complete zeros often. Yeah, freshmen, they, so you're like a hard drive in computer. You have to, it takes time to download the info, upload the information into their systems, and you'll surprise how what's the rate of the improvement is. It's always rewarding. Any performance on the stage is it's a reward in itself. Now I can say I don't make any difference between students, amateurs, professionals. The dynamics in the group of people are exactly the same. I approach them exactly the same way. I approached everyone as professionals, and if I have to, then I come down, you know, get a little more details if I have to. Whoever comes to perform on the stage, whether students, professionals or amateurs, professionals or students, there's not a single person in the world, musician, who wants to play badly or worse. It doesn't exist. They all want to do better to the top of their abilities, and that's up to you to bring that group to the next level. Also, everybody who comes to play on the stage, all musicians, whether students, amateurs or professionals, they want to have fun. It's very important. Yeah, everybody, when they come to work, they want to have fun. And I think if if one creates that atmosphere, it's very, very important. And maybe it's not on a symphony orchestra. I think it's in banks too. People go to bank, they want to have fun.
Do you enjoy traveling?
I used to like it earlier, before, obviously, before September 11th, when you could run into the airport 8 minutes before the departure, and if the people at the gate nice enough, they still get you on the plane. The security made it less enjoyable when you have to literally undress three times if you fly overseas. Everything go back. Now it sometimes it feels like you're trying to get on the bus in the rush hour. Everything is filled, and I mean, I like to be in other places. That's of course. I guess I was specifically referring to air travel because, like, past 3 years I was flying between United States and Ukraine pretty much at least once a month or two, once in 2 months, and it's getting old very quickly. If I don't have to do it, I'd rather drive. Yeah.